Welcome back. Joined now by Commander Laura Farinello, who is the commander of the Gangs and Violent Crimes Division of the Long Beach Police Department. Welcome to our show, Commander.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Commander has been with the force for 19 years. She supervises 120 officers. And for the record, there are about 200 uniformed female officers in the Long Beach Police Department out of 1,000. Crime figures, good news this last year.
Very good news for 2008. Since 2002, for the past 5 years, we've seen a dramatic drop in our crime. So in the closing of 2008, we saw a 5.6% decrease in overall crime, which is definitely a kudos to all the men and women out there doing good, hard police work.
Yeah. And I know the recent March figures are in, and they look good, too.
Yes, overall crime is once again down 1.5%, and we'll take any percentage or any decrease because that just means a safer city.
I was impressed that they break Part 1 crimes against person into violent and nonviolent, and in the violent crimes, the murder, rape, manslaughter, was down 8% year-to-year for the past year. So that's a great victory.
Yes, that's shows the what we did with our gang crime. Our gang shootings and gang murders were down significantly last year, and I think that's a reflection of that.
And yet these economic hard times have triggered some tragic outbursts that we've all read about in the paper, one at Memorial Hospital, and a friend of mine who works there, who knew the shooter, said that this person was the least likely human being ever to do something like that.
That's correct. My homicide investigators investigated that crime, and for all the people they spoke to, family and friends, work people, they all said the same thing. Wonderful man, nice person. This came out of nowhere, and it was unpredicted.
Yeah. And there was also a shooting at Arzaba Park involving a theft of an iPod, I think, leading to a tragic death.
That's correct. We had a young man playing basketball, and his iPod was taken off the bench, and he chased after those that took it and was shot and killed. Since that time, detectives worked relentlessly, and both those suspects are now in custody.
And finally, one in Silverado Park, a shooting there.
That's correct. And as I was driving here today, more good news. That suspect is also in custody.
That's great. Well, the police are on it. I know how committed the chief and his staff are, and I've been to press conferences where the mayor's there and just say, we're not going to permit this in our city.
Yes, we have definite relentless follow-up from patrol officers to the detectives that work with me and the community as well. I think it's a combined effort. We're not going to solve crime just with the police officers alone. We definitely need the community's input. And you talked about Memorial Hospital. Just a little touch on that, as I think, as you've seen in Oakland and in Philadelphia, where some officers were shot and we're having some stressors out there in the community, just people be vigilant and be aware and be cognizant of those they work around and maybe lend them towards the mental health facilities or some help if they see someone struggling.
There's an irony here, Braden, that even though the crime figures are so good, we see these well-publicized and tragic outbursts. Is it something in the air now with the economy and the meltdown and people afraid of losing jobs and pressures?
Well, I think that is definitely a factor. In the last month or two nationwide, there have been a series of what we call active shooters that have involved workplace violence, employees laid off, people that have been fired. And I think it's an unfortunate sign of the economic times.
Commander, you worked on patrol for many years, dealing with gangs. Give our viewers a sense of what it's like. What is the mentality of these people, and how do we turn it around?
It's real tough to turn it around. I think we have to get into the family unit. We have to get into that culture, that neighborhood, and make those people care about that neighborhood to want to change it around and the people that live in it. These are people that's how they live day to day. That's how they sell drugs, they commit crimes in order to support their lifestyle, and that's how they support each other. Now, in order to get involved in that is to get the young kids early and weed them out of there, show them there's a different lifestyle, that's not the only way that they see their life going.
And the breakdown in the family structure has contributed mightily to this gang problem.
We see that, I would say, in almost every case. It's a fragmented family, and you talk about morals and ethics in a family are not there, and they're misguided.
And so the gang, in a sense, even though it's so antisocial, provides a sense of belonging and place for people that may not have it elsewhere.
Yes, a sense of security.
A sense of security.
Absolutely.
So it does provide, in this perverse way, a social function to the member of the gang.
Yes, it does.
So we need to provide an alternative and constructive social setting for those members.
That's correct. And we try to do that through youth programs at the parks and such things as that, even with school programs, to divert their attention from what's going on maybe on the street level to something more productive.
Well, I personally in the show has supported the PAL program for many, many years. Sadly, that's gone, but it's been taken over, Braden, by Parks and Rec and others.
Correct.
But working with our young people, it's, and the chief has said it on our show, pay me now or pay me later.
Well, I think one other factor that should be considered in how you turn this around is education. Most of the gang members have dropped out of school early on. Most of the people that are in jail are functionally illiterate. And I think education is a huge factor in making a change in the way our society deals with the gang culture.
But how do you get people to realize the importance of education when they don't have a home with loving parents and no one's encouraging them, like many of us have been fortunate? Big problem. We'll be back with this discussion after these messages. Continuing our conversation with our fascinating guests, Commander, we were talking about gangs and the role that they play. How do we break the cycle? I mean, gangs have been, I think they're 1% of the population of Long Beach, 5,000 members of gangs in Long Beach. It stays there despite all the programs and all the efforts. Obviously, the gangs are filling a need that society is not filling. How do we address it?
Well, as we said earlier, I think we have to divert them at a young age. We have to get them involved. So when we traditionally have crime spikes, like at spring break and summertime when the youth are out of school, we need to capture them during those times and redirect them to park programs, to cadet programs like the police department offers, or get them jobs during the summer months or during spring break. So that way they're doing creative, you know, active things, so there's no idle hands, and the gangs cannot fill that gap. They're filling it with their own integrity and their own self-esteem with jobs that they're doing.
And yet drugs are big money maker for the gangs, and it's like someone's going to work at McDonald's when they can make a lot more selling drugs. How do you solve that one?
That is definitely tough, but I think it goes in hand with the integrity and the self-confidence they feel when they have a job or bring home that paycheck. They know that slinging dope is the wrong thing to do,
and they know it.
Internally, yeah. You feel better when you do the right thing.
And I think some of the best trainers and workers are former gang members that go back in and tell the younger kids that this is not the way.
We can have those dialogues. We have police youth dialogues. We will have dialogues with those that used to be incarcerated to kind of mentor them and push them in the right direction.
Okay, Braden, one of the areas we want to touch on is the newly reconstituted Long Beach Police Foundation. Tell us what they do.
Well, the Long Beach Police Foundation is a group of community and business leaders that have come together and recreated a 501c3 nonprofit that seeks charitable donations for the police department. The purpose is to really to expand our training opportunities, to help us keep abreast of new technologies, and to establish partnerships with the community. And Daniel Walker is our current chairman of the foundation board, and we are very much interested in seeking involvement.
Now, some people might ask, with a budget of $192 million a year, why isn't that enough to cover the needs of the police department?
Well, as I said in an earlier segment, our personnel budget is almost 88% of the police department general fund budget. Our materials, supplies, support, and training represent only about 4% of the budget. And so we've cut way back on what we're able to send our officers to in terms of training. The Police Foundation is helping us pick up some of those gaps. They recently helped fund an officer to go to Israel to learn a little bit more about the way they conduct their own homeland security, and he's training our officers and other agencies back here in the States now.
And I know as a member of the Foundation board that the Foundation is going to support the Police Awards Ceremony.
They are. We have an award ceremony coming up in June. It's going to be a little bit different venue this time. We're going to be doing it at the Carpenter Center at Cal State Long Beach. And it's going to be an evening affair. And the Police Foundation is indeed graciously providing the leadership and support for that.
If any of you personally or through your business would like to be involved and help out with the effort, there's a wonderful brochure that's available, and you can go to the website, lbpolicefoundation.org. We'll put that website and also a telephone number up at the end of the segment. In the time we have left, Commander, give us just your sense. You've been 19 years with the police department and obviously have risen to high rank. I know you're well, very well thought of in the department and in the community. Just give us your personal observations of being a police officer, what you've seen, what you've learned.
Yeah, I think it's a dynamite job for someone who wants to learn something new every day and experience something new every day and not sit behind a desk all day. It's a great job. Community interaction, you're your own boss, you drive around and stop crimes from being committed and reach out to the community. What better job could you have? And it's been a great ride for me, and I can hopefully have many years ahead of me.
And you told me in the green room that a long time ago you worked for CBS Television producing a show.
Well, I was a production assistant.
Production assistant. So you don't miss show business, being out in the field.
No, I'm glad I'm outside. I can drive around in a car and communicate with the community. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, I you know, so many people are tending towards jobs that support the community, and people are even giving up big salary jobs in the private sector for doing something which they feel worthwhile. Nothing more basic than police officer for a civilized society. And as you know, Braden, we start each show with a one-minute tribute to police and fire, week in, week out, who are people that every day risk their lives for total strangers. So through you representing both sworn and civilian arm of the police department, let me thank you and all of your brethren for what you do for the city every day.
Well, Art, on behalf of Chief Tony Batts, I want to thank you for the support that you give to all of our public safety personnel, policemen and firemen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll be back with the remaining portions of our show after these messages. A fascinating show on a critically important issue, public safety. And we know the budget times are tough and everything's on the table, but nothing more important to a community than public safety. And, you know, how much would you want to be paid to walk into a dark alley with someone shooting at you? Think about it that way. But we need to support our police, but they also need to be cognizant of the tough budgetary times that we are in. So, Commander, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you again for your service to our city. And Braden, always a pleasure to see you. Look forward to working with the Police Foundation.
Thank you, Art.
And thank you all for joining us. Please be with us next week for the next edition of our show. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison, the Press Telegram,
and Long Beach Magazine.
And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.